The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to talk about Paul Pelosi's body-worn camera footage being released, but I first want to touch base and revisit the Memphis police officers that were all charged in the death of a young man, Tyree Nichols, who was a resident there in Memphis, Tennessee, pulled over on a traffic stop. Now, I told you yesterday, I said, I guarantee you, and let me preface this, the officers in this situation could be wrong. There's a very possibility that they could be wrong. They were charged. You have to have probable cause to charge somebody. Now, in the spirit of the way they do business now in the United States of America against police officers, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do nothing wrong. And because the dude got a shellacking and end up dying, they want to make an example out of these police officers. So I'm open to believe that it could go either way. Now, let me explain to you what the department issued as to the occurrence of the initial interaction between the Scorpion unit officers, who were all black, and this black man driving in a vehicle. They made mention in their report that the Memphis police officers pulled over Nichols on January the 7th around 8:30 p.m. They pulled him over for reckless driving. Let me just talk about what he did. We'll deal with the police in a minute, because when the body worn camera come out, the body worn camera don't lie. Just like the hips don't lie, the body worn camera don't lie. He gets pulled over for reckless driving. What did he do next, ladies and gentlemen? Did he just get pulled over and say, "Officer, you need my license and registration," and gave the license registration and took the ticket and went home like I did? Not for reckless driving, but for speeding. I got a ticket. I took it like a champ. But no, he didn't do that. The reports say a confrontation occurred during the traffic stop, at which point Nichols ran away from police on foot. He ran. Let me say that again for the people in the back smoking crack. He ran away from the police on foot. It says officers pursued the 29-year-old, attempting to apprehend him. Then it says the ambulance was called shortly after he had shortness of breath, or complained of shortness of breath. And then 3 days later, he died subsequently at the hospital. Now, the police chief, Carolyn C.J. Davis, which I would argue, no matter how the outcome occurs in this situation, I think that she's wrong for coming out and inciting violence. If you ask me, she's inciting violence. They liken this shellacking to a Rodney King beating. And the chief don't stay out of it, wait for more information to come out, meaning to the public, before she make a public statement, which would, in my opinion, influence the public. She said, "I was in law enforcement during Rodney King incident. And, you know, very much aligned with the same type of behavior." This is what she's saying to Don Lemon, surprisingly enough. "I would say it was about the same, if not worse." She's going out and making statements and saying that this was the worst thing, this inhumane. I mean, she's literally a prosecutor in this case, making a statement against these police officers and making her own judgment known without the public being exposed to it and making a judgment on their own. Which side are you on? And being on a side mean, are you on the side of impartiality? Are you on the side of activism? Because last time I checked, police chiefs supposed to be impartial. You don't need to make a commentary on the video. Are you investigating these officers? Is there an investigation into their conduct? If the answer is yes, if there's some evaluation of whether or not you're evaluating their conduct, then you should stay out of it and wait till the body-worn camera come out. Then the public will see and they'll make their own judgment, and then you can make a judgment. There's no point in you coming out and talking about it and making all these reference points to a video that you haven't released yet. It pees me off when I think about the way this chief is handling this situation. Even if the officers are bad officers, when the body-worn camera is released by your department, then you can make a statement. Also, you hired these officers. The Scorpion unit was created by you. You are the leader of the police department. Don't try to distance yourself. You should resign, in my opinion. You are responsible for the police department. You hired these officers. Now you want to walk away and say, oh, they're bad officers. At your direction. You run the police department. What training did you give or did not give? Why in the world do you have a Scorpion unit, which is a special unit task force against criminals? And why do you got officers on that force with 2 to 5 years on the police department? 2.5 to 5 years on the police department. That tells me one or two things about your leadership as a police chief. Either policing is so bad in your city that you can't find officers with tenure because they're leaving, and you have to resort to creating a special unit for officers that have less than 5 years on the police department. You are literally setting them up for failure as a police chief. But that's no here nor there. Take no accountability, because you're above everything. Because if you throw them under the bus before you get ran over by the bus, then they become casualties and you get scot-free. I think the police chief should resign as well if you are responsible, or if you're taking charge while officers are doing what you claim is the most heinous thing that you've seen. I'm paraphrasing. You're claiming that it's likened to Rodney King under your direction. What training protocol do you have in place where your officers are beating people up on body-worn camera? This is supposed to be on body-worn camera. If these officers were to beat this man, I'm talking about unprovoked, unnecessary, excessive, not the excessive force of the activists, but I'm talking about legitimate, lawful, unlawful, excessive force. And they beating people up like this on body-worn camera? What is your training protocol? What have you put into place to filter out bad officers like this? What are you doing? Why are you going on CNN talking to Don Lemon when you haven't even released the body-worn camera footage yet? So I have to say, regardless of what the officers did, I'm incredibly disappointed with the police chief of Memphis Police Department. If these officers are out there conducting themselves in a manner that's disproportionate from what police officers should be doing, disassociated with the character that police officers should have, then I'm going to ring them in my review of the body-worn camera footage, and I hope that they all be prosecuted. And there's a possibility that they're not. I'm going to stand up for them if they're not in the wrong. Now, I can't justify running from a traffic stop. Now, if they go and beat you up and beat you unconscious excessively, they're wrong. But you have to hold some type of weight at acknowledging the fact that you were fleeing a vehicle after driving recklessly. Somebody somewhere somehow explained to me how that's reasonable or justified as a citizen. And I believe if the activist chief, Mrs. Carolyn C.J. Davis, want to give commentary, give full commentary. Make the articulable fact that those police officers acted inappropriately. But also, ma'am, make it a point to describe that it is no reason whatsoever that you should be fleeing from a traffic stop. There is a way for you to touch base on both sides. But these activist police chiefs won't do it. She's trying to save her rear end, trying to save face by throwing her people under the bus. It's funny to me that there is a solution to this, just like gun violence. There's a solution to this. Banning guns ain't the solution. Firing every police officer on planet Earth isn't the solution. If you're driving in a vehicle, just follow instructions of police officers. That's it. That's all you got to do. I ain't never going to get killed by no police officer and get beat to death on the side of the street. Because I ain't never going to run and flee and fight cops. It ain't happening. I don't care if they wrong. I'm going to collect that check without a scratch on my brow. Give me my money. And I'm going to listen to everything you say. And I'm going to take you to court and sue the whole police department. Anyway, hold the phone, y'all. I'm running out of time. Be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now, you can receive a six-piece set for only $49.99 with promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter code Brandon or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Brandon. Oh, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. It's Fired Up Friday. I was supposed to say Fired Up Friday in the first segment, but hey, I'm getting used to the Fired Up Friday. But y'all know I got to go off today. I'm going off the chain. And I'm going to tell you something that was exciting yesterday. My dad told me he listened to my show. He was telling me what I said, and I said, you really did listen to my show. But so shout out to my dad, man. I love you, man. You're a great man. That's the reason why I'm here, is because I have a father like you. So I love you. I appreciate you. And I hope they show you some love over there. You know, at your position as the fire chief. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you about my pillow, the towel set. And I've been saying this for like the last 2 weeks. If you're looking for a towel that's going to work appropriately, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, it's almost like something that you take for granted is having good towels. I mean, not all towels are created equal. There are some that look good, they look fashionable, but they don't work. They don't absorb anything. But with the MyPillow towel set, you have towels that are absorbent, towels that are soft and just have a complete balance that people are looking for in towels. So I have the towels in my house. Me and my wife use them all the time. They're incredible. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, put in discount code Brandon. Don't forget to put in discount code Brandon because you ain't going to get the hookup. Put in discount code Brandon, get the six-piece towel set for $49.99. And, yeah, so just make sure you go there and do what I just asked you to do. All right, back to Fired Up Friday. I was getting in my feelings about this Memphis police situation. I just get upset when I see police chiefs throw their people under the bus without proper balanced perspective. You know, like, why can't you say my officers were wrong and the guy was wrong as well? Why can't we do both? Why can't we chew gum and walk at the same time? Why can't we do both? You really care about the community, then you need to start making it a point to tell people, stop resisting arrest. Stop playing curbside courtroom. You don't love these people like you say if you are afraid to tell them the truth. This boy would be alive today if he didn't take his butt and start running from the police and fighting them, he would be alive today. Rodney King wouldn't have got his ashy butt kicked if he wouldn't have been taking him on a high-speed chase. Can somebody explain this to me? How is it this hard? Do what they tell you to do. It ain't that hard. It's very simple. 2 + 2 = 4. You don't need to make it complicated. When a cop pull you over, do what he told you to do. And you ain't got to worry about 5 or 6 officers beating you over the head. Now, if an officer jumped in your car and 5 or 6 of them were beating you up in the driver's seat, then I say, hey, you did all you could do. But how you got out of the car running somewhere, you got what was coming to you. Did that mean you deserve it? No, but it means that this is the natural course of action. When you go do one action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. So you driving like an idiot, the reaction to that is you getting pulled over. And you take out running and fighting police officers, the opposite and equal reactions is them beating your ass. That's what's going to happen. And if you fight hard enough, the opposite equal reactions is you're going to die. How many black men do you need to see getting killed for you to realize maybe I shouldn't run? Maybe I shouldn't fight these dudes. Maybe I shouldn't take them on a high-speed pursuit, because you don't know what officer you're going to get. You may get B. Tatum, that you may survive this incident and he's going to treat you with dignity. Or you may get somebody like dudes I used to work with. I'm like, if he has a chance to kill you, he going to kill you. If he can legally kill you, you dead. I know a couple officers that I work with like that. It ain't they fault the law. It ain't they fault you want to pull a gun on him. One of the officers I work with, somebody pulled a gun on him. He shot him. Thank God the guy didn't die. He ain't going to hesitate not one bit. He want to put a bullet in your rear end. You don't know what officer you're going to get. But you dictate your experience with police officers. I've been pulled over maybe like 4 times in my life. And I think I got pulled over like 13 years ago. Because I got pulled over like last weekend. And then before that was 13 years ago. Right before I became a cop. I was wrong. I was driving around the speed bumps. And it was something else I had did. Unsafe lane change and something else. And when the man pulled me over, I said, hey, you got me. Give me that ticket. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to stop you from giving me a ticket when I know I was wrong? Same thing that happened just recently. I was speeding. And what do you know? I got pulled over. And I say this 100 times. The officer didn't even have to drive and catch me. I saw him. He started to pull out of his secret spot. And I said, he got me. I'm not going to even make this man try to drive 100 miles per hour to catch up with me. I just pulled the truck over. And let me tell you this. My truck license plate on the back says Black Cop. I got Blue Lives Matter stickers all on my truck. He knew I was a pro cop. And he walked up to my window. I had my hands on the steering wheel. Not because I'm afraid of him, because I'm a black man. He a white man. Because I didn't really know what color the cop was. I just saw the car turning around. But I didn't want him to feel uncomfortable. With what's going on in the world, you don't need to feel no type of way. I rolled my windows down. I got my hand on the steering wheel, brother. You ain't finna get no smoke from me today. Where's your driver? I know where my insurance card at. I know where my registration is at. Sir, can I do that? And before I even talked to him, I said, sir, I have a firearm in my vehicle. It's right here in the center console. Because I normally keep it, in the appendix. But it hurt me driving 4 hours, so I just put it in my thing. I said, sir. He said, all right, just as long as your stuff is not in there, we good. I said, okay, my stuff is in the glove box. I reached over the glove box, gave it to him. I don't keep the insurance card because they change it out every quarter or whatever, so I say, can I pull my insurance up on the phone, which is legal in the state of Arizona. Pull my insurance up on the phone. Here's my insurance. He said, he jotted it down. He took my registration, did all that, went to his car, And I was hoping that he gave me a warning, but he didn't. He gave me a ticket. I wasn't mad at him. He felt bad. He like, well, I'm just trying to be impartial. You know, I'm like, look, bro, you ain't got to explain nothing to me. I was a cop. I wore the badge. I had no business driving that fast. If I didn't want you to give me a ticket, I shouldn't have been driving like that. And so thank you for your service, man. And you be safe out there. I'm going to take care of this ticket because I deserved it. If everybody would act like that, we would have no dead people at the hands of law enforcement on traffic stops. It'll never happen. It will be a zero. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm running out of time. Hold the phone. We're going to talk about Pelosi and that body run camera after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. I want to talk about the Pelosi body camera that was just released. When I say Pelosi, Paul Pelosi's incident where there was a nut job that broke in his house and ended up bashing him in the head with a hammer, almost killing the man. So let me tell you my takeaways. All of the stuff that was online without having the body-worn camera footage alluded to the fact that Pelosi could have been involved with this guy as a lover and that, you know, this guy and Pelosi staged the break-in and the police showed up and caught Pelosi and the guy in their underwear and it was all this strange situation and Pelosi may have opened the door and was just standing there and nothing happened before he was just randomly struck in the head. All of those things were out there and about, and some people were speaking about it. However, when I saw the body-worn camera footage, it really cleared up a lot of stuff for me, and I want to set the record straight. It appears to me, based on the body-worn camera footage, that Paul Pelosi was a victim. I don't care what you think about Nancy Pelosi and all these other knuckleheads. Paul Pelosi was a victim. And if you're calling in, let me break. If you're calling in and you disagree with me, just hold on. I'm going to get to you in a second. Paul Pelosi was a victim. This guy took several minutes to break into the house. And then when the police came to the door, I'm confused. Because they deemed the dispatcher heroic because she was able to interpret what Paul Pelosi was saying because the guy was breaking in his house and he was trying to speak in code and say, hey, what are you doing in my house? You don't live here. And the dispatcher, I guess, put the cookies down and was like, wait a minute, this don't sound right. And ended up ordering police officers to go out there in an emergency situation. I'm assuming that's what had happened. Because if it wasn't what happened, then the dispatcher didn't do a good job and probably should be suspended. Because if you cannot interpret the fact that Nancy Pelosi's husband is at home alone and he's saying, you don't belong in my house, you don't live here, you need to leave, that you don't interpret that there's probably a person breaking in the house and then you got a person in between a rock and a hard place. However, let's just say she did her job. And let's just say the police officer showed up with that expectation. Based on my observation of the video, they failed. They failed. They knock on the door, and one officer was on his phone for whatever reason. I don't know what he was doing. He got his head down on his phone. The other officer that knocked on the door, you can see his body on camera, he turned his back to the door at some point. And I think it could be because those police officers may not have had a lot of experience in high-action environments, and so they don't take all these calls as seriously. Maybe because it was an affluent neighborhood, they like, oh, this is probably a nothing burger. And then when they open the door, Paul Pelosi's standing in the door in his underwear, no shoes on, looking like he's in his bed. And then the other guy is fully clothed with dirty tennis shoes on. He looked like a burglar. And Paul Pelosi, when Paul Pelosi opens the door, he grabs the guy's hammer. And the cops are sitting there saying, what's going on in here? What's going on? Paul Pelosi is trying to take the hammer from the guy. The guy's like bending Paul Pelosi's arm back to take the hammer from him. They still haven't done anything. They haven't pulled out any weapons. They're not even giving real verbal commands to do anything. And then the guy wrestles the hammer. I may be saying knife. They wrestled the hammer. The guy wrestles the hammer from Paul Pelosi and then turns and strikes him in the head with the thing, knocking him unconscious. And one of the cops yell out, oh, you know what? And then they push the guy on the ground. They try to handcuff him. Let me give you another observation that was troubling to me. Paul Pelosi is snoring like me without my CPAP machine on. And the dude's legs are on top of Paul Pelosi. And they're trying to arrest this guy while his legs are on top of Paul Pelosi. I just don't know what the heck is going on here. I don't know what are they thinking. For the people that are watching this on the Salem News Channel, you can see what I'm saying. And then let me just explain this part. That what they should have did was pull big dude down the hallway, execute the arrest, and then go back and render aid to Paul Pelosi. Make sure he's roll him on his side. Make sure he's not dying. But ladies and gentlemen, I have to go to the break. But before I go to the break, I was going to tell you about Relief Factor, but I'll wait. Hold the phone.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I think I missed my little thing here. I gotta pull it up. I want to tell you guys about this incredible movie. I was speaking with the CEO and owner of the Catholic League yesterday I did an interview with him. Bill Donahue, he's the president of the Catholic League. I think he's also the CEO. He was telling me about this incredible movie. Y'all have to listen to that interview. I think I need to kind of put it up somewhere because I thought he did an amazing job talking about this new movie that's being released by the Catholic League called Walt Disenchanted Kingdom, which is like a play on Walt Disney World. But in here, we all know that Disney is going super woke. Gay and transgender propaganda is what they should change their name to. And in the new movie, Walt Disenchanted Kingdom, you will see how Disney executives are purposely exposing your children to the LGBT agenda in their films and also in their theme parks. They're trying to seize the minds of your children as early as possible to encourage kids to question their sexuality, grooming kids with the gay and transgender messages, and producing one anti-Catholic movie after another. You don't have to believe me. See the proof for yourself. Watch Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, presented by the Catholic League, available free right now on salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Now Disney theme parks have stopped using gendered greetings, which is completely stupid in my opinion. Disney's have condemned the Florida bill that bar teachers from teaching young students about sexuality and gender identity from K through third. Who would disagree with that unless you are a complete lunatic? So go and watch this movie on salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. And portions of The Officer Tatum Show are brought to you in part by Walt, Disenchanted Kingdom, and Salem Now. Now, I want to get the caller in and disagree with me because I don't know how anybody on planet Earth can disagree with me when it comes to the five officers in Memphis who are being charged with the death of the young man, Tyree Nichols, I think is his name. All right, bring the caller in. I don't have to log up. Give me his name. Joe in Philadelphia. Joe, welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hey, what's happening? I think where you're going wrong is that you got to remember that what we know so far is that the officers were charged with kidnapping. Okay, so what that means is that there was no probable cause for the stop to start with. So all the math you're doing in that, you know, the people shouldn't run and people shouldn't do this and people shouldn't do that. You know what? There's lots of cops that do things that they shouldn't do either. And what these cops
But
do
you don't know that for a fact, do you?
Pulls them over.
They're innocent until proven guilty.
Correct. You're exactly okay. Right. But what the facts show so far is that they had no probable cause. That's why they were charged with kidnapping.
But that's not necessarily facts. That's arguable. They are arguing that they believe that they didn't have reason for the stop. That doesn't mean that that's true. That's a part of the argument that they're posing against these officers. Now, we will know for a fact after they go to court and after it's determined whether or not they're guilty of what they're being accused of.
But these criminals are being charged like all other criminals on the basis of the state or commonwealth being able to prove their charges. So in the eyes of the commonwealth, that's a charge that's going to stick, my friend. So, you know, they don't have anything to say about the probable cause other than what? They were stopped, or they thought that car and that gentleman were the vehicle that got away from them the day before, which is even worse. Because there's no policy in America that says you can go chase down somebody after you, miss them, and then you can go back and get them again. And what, I don't know, maybe you can interpret that and explain that law to us, what that was.
Let's explain this. Why he run from the police then?
Because he didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. So when you don't do nothing wrong, you run from the police. Is that how that works?
They don't have no right to pull you over. Wait. Is this a Nazi state?
Because how does he know they don't have probable cause?
You're saying what? That all cops, every cop has a reasonable cause?
No, I said you're supposed to follow their direction.
You follow
their direction. That's what I'm saying. You follow their direction. You don't run.
It's kidnapping, my friend. It's kidnapping when they don't have any reason to have any contact with you. See?
That's called, they're being, it's a.
You old cops need to understand that we know the law now. And you can't even put it this way. If you still think that it's right for cops to come up and frisk and serve. Or you think it's right for cops to stop without probable cause? You think it's right for cops
Nobody said that. Let me finish talking, or I'm gonna have to hang up on you.
Yeah,
so let me finish my statement. They're being accused of these things. They're innocent until proven guilty. So we don't know if legitimately they did not have a reason. They have to argue that in court. Now, just because you're charged with something, don't mean you're convicted of something.
You're exactly right, but the courts don't even charge you with things that they don't feel that the state, county, or township can follow through with, sir.
Let me ask you this. Was O.J. Simpson charged with murder?
Was he charged with murder?
Yes.
That's like saying Epstein charged with child molestation or whatever.
Was he charged with murder? The answer is yes. Let me help you. The answer is yes. Was he convicted of murder?
No probable cause stops even the OJ. See, if they don't have probable cause to stop and pull over the Bronco, then they had probable cause.
He didn't murder nobody. So why they have probable cause? He didn't murder nobody. All right, thank you for being on the air, because you're talking over me. It's hard to get something out when it's just going back and forth. But the message here is very simple. They're arguing that they did not have probable cause to pull this guy over and chase him down and all of that stuff. But that does not necessarily mean that's true. They have a day in court to decide that. But what you do know is the guy was pulled over and he started running. That makes no sense whatsoever. For you to start running because you didn't do nothing. Let me tell y'all about Relief Factor. Oh, man. If you listen to that guy's logic, y'all going to need a lot of Relief Factor messing with police officers. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works to help your body fight off inflammation and also help with joint discomfort, and if you want to live the best version of your life and be able to play with your kids and feel better, just feel healthier, especially when it comes to your joints, you should give Relief Factor a try. You can get started with the 3-week quick starter. Get it, take it, watch it work, and then order more. It's really that simple. That's what I did. I took it. It worked. And I said, oh, my God, this is legit. I want to tell everybody about this on the Officer Tatum Show. Go to relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. Listen, I try not to talk over people that call in, but you got to make a reasonable point. I think the point here is that you're innocent until proven guilty. Now, the question is in question whether or not they had probable cause to pull him over or reasonable suspicion to pull him over on a traffic stop. You don't need probable cause to pull over a car on a traffic stop. You can, you just have reasonable suspicion to pull somebody over, and you can pull a person over based on an investigatory stop. So if you believe this vehicle is involved, you can pull the person over because you believe that's the vehicle. You don't have to know for a fact. Just like probable cause. Probable cause isn't that you know they committed a crime for a fact. You don't have to know that they committed a crime for a fact. It's just that a reasonable person will believe with the circumstances that you were presented that the person committed that crime. In the court of law, they attempt to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I don't know who the person that called in. I don't know if you know a lot about the law. It's just like these people that sound cute, but in reality, that's not the case. Now, it's up in question. He is right about that. They charged him with kidnapping, which would mean that they were unlawfully detaining him. But I would not be shocked if, and I didn't look up the law yet, so I need to look up the law for kidnapping, because there could be subsections of kidnapping, which means that some people think kidnapping is forcing somebody against their will. Kidnapping could be if you're using force against somebody unnecessarily with in certain circumstances, they can consider that kidnapping. But I don't know what their law says. It doesn't seem like that would be, they would be reasonable in order to find them to kidnap somebody. Because if they had any suspicion that that vehicle was involved in any other crime, they had a right to pull that vehicle over to conduct an investigatory stop, investigative stop. And then he starts running. I mean, if they believe that person was involved in a particular incident, and they believe that he was the driver that was participating in the incident, meaning that they ID'd him as a potential suspect, then a traffic stop is a detention. And if you run from a traffic stop, when they activate the lights and pull you over, you are detained. You run from a traffic stop, you are now fleeing detention. You are now obstructing a criminal investigation, and they can chase after you. Now, see, what I want to know, because, you know, they all fake and they're always trying to throw these cops under the bus. I want to see the body worn camera for myself and make that determination. But nobody's going to convince me that it makes any sense whatsoever that when somebody pull you over and you wasn't doing nothing, that you jump out of your car and run from the police on just a simple pull you over on a traffic stop. Make that make sense to me. Hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to first of all say, if you enjoy listening to my show, then you will love to watch it as well. You can watch it on SalemNewsChannel.com or the app that is called Salem News Channel as well. So you can either watch it at SalemNewsChannel.com or download the app called Salem News Channel. Load it on Apple or Android through the Android store. Or you can watch us on Roku. Just type Salem News Channel into the search bar. Come check us out. We are the antidote to the mainstream media. So you don't want to miss it, man. Come check me out. Watch it live if you're on the radio listening. You know, even the people out there that may know that they do it live. But just understand that the first hour is live. You can watch it on Salem News Channel. Let me continue on with this conversation. Is that body-worn camera released or no? So we're waiting for the body-worn camera to be released in the Memphis police situation so we can clear all the mess up. There's so many rumors out there, so many things. But, the police chief literally said it's the worst thing she's ever seen. I got a clip from her that I can play on our clip list. Let's see. I'll play what the police chief said. Let's roll clip 4.
I expected serious charges. I really did. Actually, the charges that were placed, or at least the administrative charges, were probably the most severe that I've seen in my career. But they were absolutely appropriate, And I knew that the next step would be in the hands of the DA's office, so I'm not surprised.
These were pretty extraordinary measures, I must say, in all the times that I've been covering these types of incidents. To fire the officers and to charge them so strictly, does that speak to what we're going to see on that videotape when it is released after 7 p.m. Eastern?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, it also speaks to the fact that, you know, over the last several years, we have all talked about police legitimacy, you know, and police reform. And I think it's really important that in instances like this, when they are serious, when they do rise to that level where a person's constitutional rights have been violated, their civil rights have been violated, that we act and we act swiftly.
I agree with everything she said. That video, if that video yields what she said it does, that video better be bad as she say it is. Cause I you know, Eric Garner and all these other people, and I'm like, that what are you talking about? They talking about he choked Eric Garner. And man didn't choke no Eric Garner. His arm wasn't even locked around his neck for less than 12 seconds. And they still out here talking about that police officer choked Eric Garner. It's like Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot. We've seen it. DOJ investigation. We've seen the accusations. And there's many times the accusations are out there. Then you see the video and you're like, it wasn't nowhere near what they said it was. They made this up. So I'm actually hoping to God that video is going to make me feel like she just said. I pray to God that it does. Because I would hate to have to go against the grain if that video come out and it wasn't no legitimate police interaction. Is it out yet?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the
full thing. Okay, so there's parts that are out, and I'm looking at it now. I'm just looking over to the side at a camera, and I don't even see them even putting striking him. We're gonna watch the video in the break, and they try to tase him. They're fighting him. He stands up. He's running again. They tase him again. He now took his shirt off, and then he's running down the street. So now they're chasing him down the street from the video that I'm watching. I hope that we can try to get this thing up. But they're chasing him down the street. I don't know when they caught him. I'm going to look back over there once they make contact with him again. And I'm hoping that this next phase that I see is them beating the living daylights out of him. I'm hoping that's what I see. Because the first part of this video, it seemed like they were trying to detain him, but they were unable to detain him. They tased him twice. He gets up and he runs. So hopefully it gets more violent than what I just seen, because that ain't nowhere near what this lady's talking about, Rodney King. We'll see it. We'll see it. Let me play the clip from Benjamin Crump, the ambulance chaser. If it ain't making me no money, I don't make time. Himself. Benjamin Crump, let's roll clip 3.
Prayer that I believe Ms. Wells is articulating is that this won't have to happen to other young black and brown children. We don't have to learn so many hashtags, darling, and I don't have to keep talking to you on CNN week after every other week about yet another unarmed black person has been killed by police in a highly controversial manner. Hopefully, this institutional police culture that says it's okay to engage in excessive force against black and brown people will finally be dealt with. We won't continue to try to say that, oh, it's training. They can de-escalate just fine when it's white citizens. We see that all the time. But it's when it's black and brown.
I can't listen to him. More white people get killed by police than black people do. I done seen plenty of video of white people getting stroked out by the police and getting off. It's plenty of situations. And I've seen them get arrested, shooting people for no reason. But see, it ain't about the man's life. It's about money now. Show me the criminal record. Show me the criminal record, and I'll show you an insurance policy. It's an insurance policy. Some of these people go out. I don't know if that's his case. I will find out soon. They go out and they spend their whole life committing crimes. They end up getting killed and the family get on TV and, oh, he was changing his life around. The Lord was really changing him this time. He was getting his kids back from CPS this time. And then they use that and put Benjamin Crump up there because they're going to get millions and millions of dollar payout. In many cases, that's what it is. Because the man can't just tell the truth and say, look, they shouldn't have did it. He got to say black and brown people. What are you talking about black and brown people for? Okay. And then they black cops. And they still pushing black and brown people. It's crazy to me. But it's all a race hustle, in my opinion. And so we're going to try to look at this video. And especially when we get to the break, I'll be able to look at it a little more. But to me, it looks like that they pulled him over. And it looks like an altercation ensued. They tased him. He's not cooperating whatsoever. And they're telling him to put his hands behind his back. He refuses. Nobody has even struck him at this point. No punches, no nothing. And we'll see. I'm trying to multitask and watch it. They just released the body-worn camera footage. And I think that nigga's trying to put it on my screen right now. Memphis Police Department released it on Vimeo. And it's, if you go to Vimeo.com/City of Memphis, you'll be able to see it for yourself. But we're going to go live right after the show on YouTube, and I'm going to do a full breakdown on this video. But, you know, it's crazy to me because the first 10 minutes of the video, I don't see anything that could get a police officer charged with anything. And we'll see. As soon as they come up whooping him, I'm going to turn my head over there and look at it. And see what this is all about. It looked like one of the cops got pepper sprayed. And he crying because he got pepper spray in his eyes. I don't even see a fight at this point. All right. We'll get to the meat and potatoes of this here in a second. Sorry for the delay. It's just that this is breaking news and it's coming out right as we speak. I want to jump over to this other situation in Georgia where a police officer resigned after being put on leave for a Facebook post on traditional marriage. So let me play the clip from this young man, this police officer, and let me give my commentary. And I know for a fact people are not going to like what I have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Roll clip one.
My chief told me that what I had said is the same thing as using the N-word or saying F all those homosexuals. I'm a former police officer for the Port Wentworth Police Department. I grew up in a broken home and there was a lot of law enforcement involved with a custody battle. I didn't really know what was going on and the officers knew that, but they chose to reach out and encourage young boy. I wanted to experience what it was like to serve and give some back to my community. I posted a statement that marriage is to be between a man and a woman, that it refers to Christ and the church, and that there's no such thing as a homosexual marriage. I was told, well, if I wanted to come back to work, they were not going to fire me. However, they're creating a new department policy, which states that anything that I post that might be considered offensive to someone somewhere would be a fireable offense. At the end, I decided to resign. Law enforcement is a dangerous job in general. Going out on the streets without having your command.
I gotta go to break. Hold the phone. I'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. You listen to the Austin Tatum Show. Let me tell you about the MyPillow towels. If you're looking for some towels that work, that's going to actually dry you and do the job that you pay for them to do, then MyPillow towels are the towels of your dreams. Go on to MyPillow.com. Make sure you put in discount code Brendan. If you put in discount code Brendan, you will get a discount on the MyPillow six-piece towel set. Make sure you do not miss out on that opportunity. Go there right now and get them towels before I get mad at you. No, I'm just playing. All right. We're looking at the video. We're kind of getting parts of it because they released like four or five body-worn camera. They released four videos. And Rodney King, you know what. Now, maybe in one of these videos, we missed something. The first video I saw from the five Memphis police officers scenario was that they went to detain him outside of his vehicle. They attempted to tase him. Not one strike that I saw. And we're going through all four videos right now. Not one time did the police officer strike him. He gets tased. He fights off the police. He takes off running. And then we see another video where it looks like they caught up to him, but we don't see when they made contact with him. We just see him on the ground. Now, I saw one officer punch him in the face twice while the man was standing there with his hands behind his back, two officers holding his hands. One officer slugged him in the face twice. And from that officer, 100% should be fired and charged with aggravated assault. And of course, they would have to determine if that strike led to his death. But we're looking at it now. I'm watching the actual incident where a cop's body-worn camera shows them pulling up on him. Okay, I see him. They punched him twice. He's still fighting them. They pepper sprayed him. This don't look like Rodney King to me. And he sure don't look like that picture they've been putting out on the internet. But let me see. I'm still looking. This don't even look that bad. They spraying them pretty hard with that pepper spray. So they sprayed so much pepper spray, a couple officers got pepper sprayed and walked away from the location. So it's only like a few officers that are trying to detain him. We got to keep watching this. That lady said, Rodney King. I want to call her the B word, but I'm not going to do that because I'm a Christian. She said, Rodney King. This was worse than Rodney King. Now, let me just explain this for a minute. I see an officer, when they picked him up off the ground, I see an officer slug him in the face twice. I see an officer when he was on the ground that they kind of got into a fist fight, but it was only two punches strong, and they quit. They didn't even touch him anymore after that. They literally began to wrestle him and pepper spray him. Okay, this is the part where I think that officer made a mistake. They stand him up, and one officer punches him. Think one officer punches him twice. Right there. Boom, boom. Boom. Yeah, that officer right there that looked like he punched him while he was restrained should be in trouble. I see one officer that needs to be in trouble. And out of the rest of the five, I don't see anything on this video where an officer should have intervened. I don't see in this video where this was a Rodney King. I'm going to go off. I'm going to go off on my live stream. I'm going to go off. But I do think that at least one of the officers did not act appropriately. Because it looks like the guy is lethargic. They holding him up. He's standing up. And one cop punched him in the face a couple times. And the guy is still resisting. Not one time is he trying to do anything they asked him to do. And the cop punched him in the face. Okay, we can get that guy. And then they got him for kidnapping. I don't even know how they end up getting a kidnapping charge. And I think the only reason that this is even, people even making a comment on it, is because the guy died several days later in the hospital. So we'll go back and look at it. But let me just give you a summary of what I've seen so far. It looked like they pulled him over on a traffic stop. We haven't been able to see them get him out of the car, but somehow he's in an altercation with the police officers. They tase him, attempt to tase him. Of course, this is why I don't use tasers, because he fought the taser off. Nobody's striking him at this point, at least when I saw him on the ground. Nobody struck him at one time. Then he gets up, he runs away. They try to tase him again. He kind of falls. He gets up, takes his shirt off, run down the street. They chase him down the street. Somehow they caught up with him, and they're just wrestling with him on the ground. At one point, I see a cop do a few strikes, and then they're still wrestling with him, and they pepper sprayed him. He's still fighting him. He's still resisting arrest. He's still not cooperating. They're still wrestling with him. And it looked like at some point they finally wrestle him up from the ground. One officer I see punches him twice. And then that's the end of the physical altercation. And they end up wrestling him to the ground and putting him up against the car where his back is sitting up against the car. The ambulance come and arrive and they render aid. And two or three of the cops are out of the fight because they got pepper sprayed. So I don't understand how they're framing this like Rodney King. I don't know how they're framing this like Rodney King. I don't know whatsoever how they framing it. I don't even think nobody really, multiple officers didn't even hit him. Looked like only one officer hit him. I'm gonna get the whole video and I'm gonna put it together. We're gonna do it live on the live stream, but it just makes me sick to my stomach. I thought I was gonna see them. I seen officers in Georgia. It was on like Cops or something. It wasn't no Cops. It was like America's Scariest Videos or something, where a guy was driving a minivan, fleeing from the police. The minivan roll over. It ejects the guy out of the minivan. He hits the ground and limp. And cops were doing the Superman, jumping off of the top ring, elbowing, punching, and the dude is completely unconscious before they even touched him. He was laying there face down, and they were pummeling him. That was what I thought I was going to see right here. I thought I was going to see officers just stomping him, multiple officers punching him, beating him, doing all kinds of stuff. And that's not what I see in this video. They wrestle with the man for 90%. And out of all the strikes I saw, I think I seen four punches. And the guy got a stick in his hand and he ain't even hitting the guy with the stick. I think he hit him twice. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I know I've been jumping around. That body-worn camera kind of just came out right in the middle of the show. And just know at the end of the show, we're going to try to go live and review it on the YouTube channel. So if you go to the Officer Tatum YouTube channel, you'll be able to see us do a live review of this video. You know, do I think the cops were right in this? You know, I think there's a lot of things that they could have done differently in handling this situation. I don't, Rodney King and all that, I just don't see it being that way. And, you know, I just don't understand how to this day, if they're claiming that black folks are getting targeted by the police, then why y'all still resisting arrest and all that? I would never understand that. Let me move on and I'll come back to the situation. This dude is literally running from the police. It's crazy to me, but that's totally fine. You should be able to run from the police and do all this old crazy stuff and expect nothing to happen to you. Okay. That makes sense. All right. The police officer that resigned from a Georgia police department after posting a post proclaiming that he is a Christian, pretty much. In the post, he wrote, "God designed marriage. Marriage refers to Christ and the church." And he paraphrased the Apostle Paul's teaching in the book of Ephesians. And he put, "That's why there is no such thing as homosexual marriage." Now, let me give this context. Here's how the kid could be wrong. And here's how he could be right. Now, they're a small police department. I think they probably only patrol like 1,000 people in 11,000 people in their city. So, I mean, they're a small police department. They probably have about 10 officers on the police department. Very small. And how this young man could be wrong is that if you are in uniform and you are presenting yourself as a police officer on your social media working for a particular agency, and you are saying things like that, you're wrong. When you got the uniform on, you are impartial. Nobody cares about your opinions. Nobody want to hear that you're a Christian when you're wearing a uniform. There's no need for you to interject your own personal beliefs while representing the uniform in your city. Full stop. You're wrong. There ain't no such thing as you get a First Amendment right. You don't get a First Amendment right while representing the government. You don't, that's not a right. You're representing the government. You're supposed to be impartial. Now, when you take the uniform off, you go out into the regular world, you have a right to say whatever you want to say as a private citizen. Now, if they, because it's a long story. They didn't just fire him, right? They brought him in the office. They set him down. They said, hey, we're going to put you on admin leave because what you said was offensive. People called in. Now, it's a city of 11,000 people, right? I mean, they probably know everybody in the city. And so somebody called in to complain about his statement online. And the police department pretty much said, hey, look, the citizens they don't like what you said, and it's a problem. And you need to take it down. And he refused to take it down. And so they said, well, if you refuse to take it down, then we're going to have to put you on admin leave until we can figure out what's going on and how this is going to play out in the public. We don't want to take responsibility for you getting in the use of force with somebody from the LGBTQ community. And you got this on your website and you make us look bad. It's pretty much what they said. And so after he continuously refused to take it down, they had made mention that they're going to have to fire him. Well, they end up telling him that they weren't going to fire him and they were going to take him off of admin leave. But then he felt that the way they treated him, he no longer wanted to be a police officer for that police department. Now, I'll say this again. If you are posting things wearing the uniform representing your agency, meaning in your bio, you say, I'm a police officer with this agency. Whatever you post on your social media is representation of that agency. And that's unacceptable. And the same thing will go if you were a Satanist. Just imagine a police officer that's representing your police department and saying they worship the devil and all this old crazy stuff. You'd be like, oh, man, that, I don't want that guy patrolling me with no conscience, represent the devil. Even if a police officer was saying, hey, I'm having a Confederate flag. Flying a Confederate flag around. You know, if you're doing that in uniform, it's a problem because you are supposed to be impartial. When I was, and I'm not just saying this because I just feel like saying it. Like when I was a police officer, I was very outspoken, but I did not speak out wearing my uniform. My social media did not have what police department I worked for. My social media was clean and I gave commentary and nobody, I never wore my uniform. I was not representing the Tucson Police Department when I made any of my statements. When I went on television, I was an Arizona police officer. Therefore, I can say whatever I want to say as a private citizen. But if I had put my uniform on, that would have been a problem. And I agree to that sentiment that it's unacceptable to do that. But I don't know from the article which side this guy was on. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day and it works for me. And I'm pretty confident it'll work for you just as well as it's worked for almost 500,000 other people that have taken Relief Factor. So go to relieffactor.com or you can call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor. I want you to feel better, move better, be more mobile, be more involved with your children. Don't let joint pain hold you back and inflammation. Take Relief Factor today. Give it a try. What do you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com. Go order some Relief Factor today.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243.
Do the Harlem Shake.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. If you love what you're listening to and you like the radio show, which I know that you do, you can watch it live. You can watch the show. You don't just have to listen. You can use all of your senses, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, touch, and taste. Now, I don't know how you're going to touch and taste it, but you can at least watch it. And you can watch it on SalemNewsChannel.com, SalemNewsChannel.com, or download the app. And if you're looking for it on the App Store, Android, Apple, Roku, just type in Salem News Channel in the search bar and you can find the app and you can find us on your Roku. So make sure that you check it out. I know a lot of you guys might not know that you can actually see this as well as hear what I'm saying. All righty. I think I finished my statement about the young man. The bottom line is that if you got a uniform on or you represent the police department, you don't have the freedom to just say whatever you want to say. If you are as a private citizen, you're not representing the police department in any capacity, you could say whatever you want to say. So if they were giving him a hard time and he was not disclosing that he was a police officer with the city of whatever, then I think that they were wrong. It appears that he was known as a police officer. That's why somebody complained. And therefore, he should understand that you cannot do that. And I think that, that's an appropriate thing that the police department may implement, even though people don't want to hear that. And the reason that I take that strong stance is because that's what I had to do. I took my uniform off. I made sure I did not disclose what department I was in, and I said whatever I wanted to say. When I put that uniform on, there ain't no Brandon Tatum's opinions. Objective law enforcement. And that's all there was. Back to Georgia again. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp activates 1,000 National Guard troops ahead of anti-cop protests. And we all know that in Georgia, they ended up smoking that dude who shot at the police officers first while they were clearing out a particular forest in order to build a police facility there. I guess one of those activists decided that he wasn't going to move and he was going to kill the police officers if they try to remove him from that particular land. And this facility is a $90 million Atlanta Public Safety Training Center. And if you think you're going to stand in the way of the police department putting up a training center, you better think twice. And so these tree huggers decided to shoot at the police officers, which necessitated a deadly force shooting in return. He subsequently died. And they're literally burning police cars, knocked throwing rocks through the police station. And so Governor Brian Kemp decided that he was going to do what's right, like any other governor should, and put out National Guard troops in order to defend the police officers in this situation. And, you know, I want to imagine this. My producer, The Forgotten Man, had made mention in this particular subject. He said, could you imagine if Stacey Abrams was in power as the governor in Georgia when this happened? Yeah, you know, she wouldn't have did no National Guard troops. The cops, she'd have threw the cops right on the bus and backed over them. He said that she would have ordered the food trucks instead to assist rioters with food while they damaged property. 1,000%. We spoke about this the other day. The Milwaukee Bucks decided to have a drag show at halftime, which is complete lunacy in my personal opinion. And they had mixed emotions. Now, I'll say this. The fans had the opportunity to purchase the ticket package, which gave them the opportunity to be there during the Bucks Pride halftime show. And they will also get Pride scarves and beanies as they support the LGBTQ plus community. Y'all remember when it was LGB? Remember that? Now it's LGBT. Then it became LGBTQ. And then now it's LGBTQ plus. It's like, bruh, they're getting more and more mentally ill. And this is my personal opinion. Milwaukee Bucks, they need to stay out of this. Just stay out of it. There's no need for y'all to be interjecting into any of this stuff. Because the funny thing is, they would never do nothing Christian with the Milwaukee Bucks or any of these sports teams. Do a Jesus in the Manger halftime show. They wouldn't dare. But I honestly believe, look, if you want to do this stuff, do what you want to do. I don't think it's appropriate. I think they're pushing an agenda. Why does homosexuality got to be involved with trans with drag shows? I just don't like, because think about this. Think about this for a minute. Why is drag shows a thing? Like, why is this a central focus of the LGBTQ expression? When I don't know what a drag show have to do with LGBTQ plus. A man doing drag allegedly isn't gay. It's a man that decide to cross dress. And then in his normal life, he dresses like a man. I'm under the impression that that don't seem like that's an acronym in the LGBTQ plus AARP. And so what exactly is drag queen? How is that an expression of love? How is that an expression of you love who you love? It's an expression of I would argue, it's almost like a strip show. They may as well let Keisha and them get in halftime and twerk it and make it clap. Because you're doing the same thing, but y'all let me in make it clap. They got a party. I saw a video of they doing a party with kids there. Homeboy got a dress on with his wang hanging out. He got his wang in the Speedo. And he do the splits and bouncing on the table with his wang bouncing on the table in front of kids. What sense does that make? If you cannot see that the LGBTQ is literally sexual immorality flaunted, I don't know what to tell you. How does the expression of love has a man on a table in a thong with his package hitting the table in front of your kids? How does that make sense? It don't make any sense. That's why I'm here to let y'all know. We got to go hard on this Friday, Fired Up Friday. But y'all hold the phone. Call in.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Do the Harlem Shake.
Everybody's got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. The Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back, you botany boys. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got to tell you about this story right there. This story is a doozy. Conservatives should be ashamed of themselves. Let me just tell you this, and I'm just going to make this clear, and then I'm going to shut up and move on. DirecTV got drugged through the mud because let me just say this real quick, because this is my short segment. Conservatives got to stop doing this stuff because it really gets you to the point where you don't know who to trust and who to believe. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? Listen to this. Remember all the outrage against DirecTV? Remember that? They got rid of Newsmax and it was all this backlash, even some. Congressman made a reference point to dig into this argument. This, to me, this is the same thing with Steven Crowder. People have another motive that you don't know about. So Newsmax played the victim, in my opinion, because they got ousted from DirecTV. But then DirecTV, after ousting them, put on probably more conservatives than Newsmax had. DirecTV welcomed Bill O'Reilly. And the organization or the TV network that's called the First TV. The First TV, obviously, they have Bill O'Reilly, but let me tell you who else they have. They have Jesse Kelly, Dana Loesch, Mike Slater, Liz Wheeler, and also, I said before, Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly was on Fox. And all of these people that I'm hearing or that I just described are conservatives. Dana Loesch is a pro-gun conservative. Jesse Kelly is a veteran. I've been on Jesse Kelly's show a few times. Super conservative. And DirecTV allowed them to be on the network. So you got to make up your mind. Is DirecTV anti-conservative or was it just a problem with Newsmax? OAN got ousted. Then Newsmax got ousted. Then they brought in the First TV. Now, let me give you some context here because I said, okay. Maybe they got the backlash is what got them to a point in which they felt like they had to put some conservatives on or else. But then a DirecTV spokesperson made reference and insisted that the carrier wanted to continue to offer Newsmax, but that Newsmax demanded for a rate increase that would have resulted in higher costs that would have been passed on to their customers. So they believed that the rate in which Newsmax wanted, they weren't able to give. And that's why they claim they got rid of Newsmax. And to me, it sounds like that's more plausible because they turned right around and put more conservatives on the air. But hold the phone and run out of doggone time. I'll be back after the break. Fired Up Friday, baby.
So all my shorties wiggling, they're shaking their curves, just make it clap. Just make it clap. Just make it clap.
Just make it clap.
Just make it clap. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, just ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to finish what I was talking about before with the DirecTV debacle. I just feel like that I'm so upset with feeling like I've been getting played by conservatives sometimes. Not all, but some of them. Because is there any truth to the fact that DirecTV is claiming that Newsmax demanded a higher rate? Now, if Newsmax went to negotiation with DirecTV and said, we need more money, and DirecTV said, hey, we can't pay you for more money, and if you are making a hard line decision, we're going to have to let you go. If DirecTV said that to Newsmax, then every the people, if they said this to Newsmax, the head of Newsmax and everybody else should be ashamed of themselves from trying to push a false agenda. If this is just a contract negotiation, is the reason why you're no longer with DirecTV, and it's not because you're conservative, then that's a problem. And the reason why I'm leaning more towards saying it wasn't just because they were conservative, because they turned around and hired another show full of conservatives. To me, it sounds like a contract negotiation. They have nothing to do with wokeness, being leftist, DirecTV, and it had everything to do with they know that they could not come to an agreement in a contract. And that's why they're no longer with DirecTV. That's what it seems like here, because there's no way in the world that you hate conservatives and you just put on a gang of conservatives on a new TV show. Now, I'm open to saying I could be wrong, but based on what I'm reading, based on what I know, based on the same Steven Crowder-ish stuff, is the same, you know, people are not genuine. I don't think Steven Crowder was genuine when he was trying to make it seem like he's fighting against big tech. No, let's be real. What it came down to is that you wanted more money from the Blaze. They said, you ain't worth the money that you asking us for. So y'all parted ways. And Daily Wire said, we'll give you $50 million. You felt like you should have been making $130 million or something crazy like that. And because they were willing to go for $30 million a month, and they were going to cap you just at $50 million, you decided to not go with the contract. That's a big difference with a contract negotiation issue versus somebody fighting big tech. Somebody being in a bed with big tech. This is why you got to watch people that talk and watch conservatives, because not everybody is created equal. I would never do nothing like that. If me and Salem got into it and I left Salem Radio, and it was because I wanted them to pay me more money and they didn't, so I left. But then I turn around and say, man, Salem is bad. And I start leaking their contracts and I start leaking my conversations with the CEO and saying, hey, no, and I know the whole time it's just because I wanted more money and they wasn't paying me what I thought I was worth. They had a contract that I didn't agree with. And I'm going to go out and make all this stuff up to try to get my own subscription company started. Shameful, man. But y'all got to know that it's lucrative to trick you. It's lucrative to get your emotions involved. That's why I want you to be cognizant of people's ulterior motives. It's lucrative to scream that you've been censored. Big tech is lucrative. Email lists are money. It's good as money. People rent their list off. They're able to put advertisement and sell on their email list. So just understand, when somebody do it, they may not be nefarious, but just understand that means money. That means that a company has kind of like a foundation where if they get banned, they can just email you stuff. That's money in the bank. And somebody that tried to lie to you and say that that's not true, they just lying. And there's nothing wrong with collecting emails. There's nothing wrong with being able to pitch to the people that love you and support you and want to be a part of what you're doing. But to try to trick people into doing and acting like that's not what you're doing is shameful. There's money to be made on YouTube. There's money to be made on Twitter and Instagram. Millions of dollars to be made. Not $100, not $1,000, millions. And anybody that tell you, I'm fighting big tech, and they still on YouTube. They're not fighting big tech. They're not dumb either. Fighting big tech would be like Alex Jones. Alex Jones ain't on no platform. And that dude is still maintaining. He's still doing his thing. He can argue that he fight big tech because Alex Jones say whatever he want to say. And they ban him, but he got his own platform. But, you know, people like myself and others are disingenuous about it. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not finna get banned on YouTube. If I want to tell you something I can't say on YouTube, I'm not going to say it on YouTube and get banned. I'll have a paywall. I'll have something where I can go and give this content to you that I can't put on YouTube. Same thing that Steven Crowder does. Same thing that everybody's doing. And the reason why they do it, if they're honest, is because if you get banned, you lose a tremendous amount of revenue. And a paywall system allows a company to be able to still maintain and give you the content that you love and even give you exclusive content. But it just bothers me every time I read something like that. And I'm like, come on, conservatives, like, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Y'all doing things and playing on the heartstrings of other people and using their emotions against them. And I don't like that because I think you can be honest and still make a lot of money. You could be honest and still have a lot of impact and influence. You don't have to make up. I knew a person who would say how they would go viral is they would always act like they were banned. And they would get so much more reach when they say, oh, they just banned me. Or they're trying to kick me off of the platform. They'll get so much more reach. So many people buying their books and everything else. And it's like it was all an exaggeration. Just know people are doing that. You know, when you got millions of subscribers on YouTube, they ain't just banning you. You're not just losing them. You have a liaison. I have a liaison with YouTube. I can call her on the phone and say, hey, what's going on with YouTube? Hey, what's going on with that content? Hey, I don't think that was right that it got demonetized. Can you work on it? Can you fix it for me? They send you somebody. And they send me that person when I had 1 million subscribers. Now I have 2 million. I'm not getting banned on no YouTube. Do you know what kind of revenue you make on YouTube? I mean, I'll just give you some numbers of what people could potentially make. If they pay you what they call a RPM, and the RPM is like what you directly make. A CPM is what advertisers pay to get on your YouTube channel. Now, it's dirt cheap, and it's the cheapest stuff you ever see, and it's really not. You can get outside advertisers better than what Google is doing. However, people are making between $3 to $8 in the conservative space, between $3 to $8 per 1,000 views. Just do the math. $3 to $8 per 1,000 views. Let's just do some simple math. Just say you were making $8 per 1,000 views and you had 100,000 views. Okay? That's $800, right? If my math is right. Just say you had 1 million views. That's $8,000 off one video with 1 million views. And just say you make 3 or 4 videos a day. And all of your videos are averaging up to, you know, $8,000 a day. If you put all your videos together and they're making millions of views per day. That's how much money could be made on YouTube. With those little corny ads that nobody really want to click on. And if a person is going to get demonetized on YouTube, and I'm going to explain that to you. Demonetization don't necessarily mean you don't make money. What happens? Well, it's two phases of demonetization. Demonetization in the realm in which I express demonetization in, which means that I have been demonetized, is that they limit ads to your video. So that means pretty much you're going to make hardly any money. I mean, like I'm talking about significant less. Like a video that you will make $5,000 on, you will actually make like $200 on. If they demonetize, which they limit the advertisers that could be on your video, if they don't like the content and it's not advertisement friendly. Now, here's the thing. People get mad at you know, because I think there is some conspiracy there that YouTube kind of like favors certain content creators. But in all actuality, they demonetize your content because the advertisers don't want to advertise on your content. it's not because YouTube don't like you for the most part. There could be a little of that there, but for the most part, it's that advertisers don't want to advertise on conservative content, gun content, LGBTQ content. There's only some that will, some, most that won't. Just like on my show. I feel like my show is good enough to have thousands of advertisers on it, but they don't want to be on here while I'm talking like I'm talking. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. I got caught driving on the freeway at 1,000 miles per hour. You get it? Towel? 1,000? Okay, the joke sucks. Go to my pillow and get some towels. Get you a six-piece towel set for $49.99 when you use discount code Brandon. You know, if you are a person that's serious about the little things in life, which are quality towels, when you wash your face, when you wash your behind, and when you dry yourself off, you need quality towels that you can trust, you can rely on. And I believe that that's like one of the most overlooked things in the house is the towels. People literally compromise every single day with towels that do not dry anything. You can spill Kool-Aid on the floor and it's just going to wash around the Kool-Aid without doing any absorption. You will not have that problem with the MyPillow towels and the MyPillow towel set. So you can get the six-piece towel set, two hand towels, two washcloths, two face towels. I think that's the way it is for $49.99. Put in discount code Brandon. MyPillow.com, discount code Brandon. Get you some towels today. All right. So I got callers that are calling in, 844-900-7243. What is it? I forget the name. Derek in Atlanta. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, Derek. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment on the drag queen at the Bucks game, that drag show. As a brown-skinned gay man myself, drag shows don't need to be at sporting events, like, at all. I leave that for, you know, nightlife, you know, for adults. You know, I don't want to go to a basketball game with my niece and nephew. And, you know, there's a drag show there, and then I got to explain to them what's going on. Like, that's not the time and place for that. You know, there's a time and place for everything, and a drag show at a basketball game is not that, in my opinion.
Right. I agree. Have you ever been to a drag show? I've never been to a drag show, but, I'm seeing these little excerpts from drag queens and kind of the stuff that they're doing. Have you ever been to one of those shows?
Trust me, as a gay man, I've been to plenty. I've been to plenty of drag shows, and I can tell you, it's sexualized. A lot of it is sexualized. Like, some of it isn't. There are some out there that, you know, like, some of the performances are actually, you know, do have some type of tastefulness to it. But a majority of the time, it's kind of like if you go to a bar and, you know, you want, like, a little, like, entertainment, like a live band or something. That's just the gay community way of, you know, like, okay, cool. You know, like, we have someone dressing up as Britney Spears and want to lip sync her songs. Why not? Cool. You know, I like Britney Spears. I'll listen to her. You know, that's all it is. But it's still a sexualization, you know, to go along with that, that doesn't need, you know, children involved. That's, you know, adult stuff. That's for, you know, people that know what they're doing and know, you know, what it is. They have a good idea of who they are. You know, kids, they don't know what or who they are. Like, that's just not the arena I think we need to have our kids in.
Oh, I agree with you 1,000%. I got one more question for you. And I know this is not an interview, but you called in and I'm interested to hear your perspective. Why do you think they're pushing this? Like, why do you think that this is whoever is in the LGBTQ community that's, you know, telling the Bucks or bringing these ideas up? Why do you think that they're pushing this on children?
That, I, I ask myself that same question, honestly, and I really don't have an answer. I mean, I'm not a part of that, you know, LGBTQ stuff. Like, that's just never been my thing. And I really wish I had an answer, because I talk to my brother about this all the time. I'm like, why does every TV show have to have a gay character, a gay storyline? I'm like, what are they pushing? Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you know, it was never like that when I was growing up, and I'm all right with that. I don't need that on my niece and nephew. You know, it's just disgusting. I really wish I knew, you know, why they're doing this. Yeah. I really wish.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything like that, but
you're fine. And I appreciate it. Trust me, it's no big deal here.
Yeah, well, thank you, brother, for the call, man. I really appreciate your honesty and boldness and coming on this show. I appreciate you, man.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate everything that you do. I don't catch the show every single day because of my job. You know, I travel a lot. But when I do catch, I love it. I enjoy it. Thank you so much. And please keep doing what you're doing. You're reaching a lot more people than you think. You know, I know, you know, you're reaching a lot. That's all I have to say. And I really do appreciate everything that you do for us in the community. And just as an American, just thank you. And thank you for your service, you know, for what you've done. You know, serving your community as law enforcement. I'm a veteran myself, so I know, you know, what that entails. Your bravery, your sacrifice. Thank you.
I appreciate you, and thank you for your service, man. Thank you so much for the call. See, you don't have to sugarcoat and try to be fake and be somebody you're not to influence people. Just be yourself, man. Real recognize real. And I appreciate that brother calling in and giving some insight, because I've never been to a drag show, but just from what I see, it seems to be sexualized. You have a man dressing like a woman alone is a sexual thing. It's not like a man is, you know, like a businessman dressing like a blue collar worker, you know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, it's kind of like a you know, you're trying to be, you know, a guy that works at, you know, Burger King is dressing like Michael Jordan or something. It's not like you're building a persona and being a man. And being like this vision of a man and what a man ought to be and whatever, if that's what the show was all about, that'd be pretty interesting. But it's literally men dressing like women in a sexual way. They're not just wearing long hair or nothing. I mean, they got mini skirts on, they got their breasts out. I mean, they're dancing and being provocative, and you know, it just that I don't understand, like, in our society, how we got to that point. You know, I remember when I watched the documentary on Elvis, and I'm not here to promote that document, but that's a good documentary. That was a good document. I was shocked. That was a good documentary. And one thing that happened, and I didn't know this was happening in the 60s, I think 50s and 60s, was that there was a law against, like, provoking people to fornicate. Something of that nature. So when Elvis used to go on stage and thrust his pelvis around, they literally took him off the stage and arrested him for like a crime of like provoking fornication or something crazy like that. I didn't even know that that was a crime. And now look at us. You literally can do porn in public. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. I watched that body camera, and whoop, there it is. I you know, because I let me just be honest with y'all. I want to go back to that point. Like, why they have to do all that? They got to make a spectacle out of that incident with the police and that guy. I've seen worse than that. And I do think officers should be held accountable. Now, charging everybody with crime, that don't seem right. It was a few of them that I think two of them think of that were wrong. And here's the caveat. And I don't know if we have the background of this because the chief never talks about this part. Now, they did get charged. I don't know if all of them got charged. They did get charged with like kidnapping, right? So if there is a situation where he wasn't the person they were looking for and they had no evidence that he was the person they were looking for, they had no reasonable suspicion, which I find that almost impossible to believe that they had no reasonable suspicion to believe that he was involved in reckless driving. Now, in the case that they didn't, and they pulled him out of the car and did all that stuff, they were wrong. They were wrong. And there is discipline, firing, charges that could ensue. And as a person getting pulled over by the cops, you do what they tell you to do. It's really not that hard. Think about this. I'm going to give you the scenario where he was alive and he had no chance of dying. When they first pulled him over, he was alive, had no chance of dying. When they go to pull him out of the car, he was alive. Nobody had punched him. Nobody had struck him. He was still alive and he had no chance of dying. Then when they try to detain him on the ground in front of his car or on the side of his car, the side of the driver's side door, he was alive. He had no chance of dying. When they tased him the first time and told him to put his hands behind his back, he was alive, no chance of dying. They tased him the second time. He was alive, no chance of dying. At what point do you just say, all right, bro, I didn't do nothing, but y'all must think I did something. So I ain't going to make this worse than this. Then he runs from the scene. Where he running to? Big Mama house? Where you running to? Then they catch him and they get into a scuffle with him. One guy had a baton, I think, popped, whacked him like three times, I think he hit him. Now, generally speaking, I don't think that's the end of the world. If you're hitting him in the peroneal, if you're doing strikes, the expandable baton is a less amount of force than the taser is. When I say less amount of force, let me just put it in perspective. You don't have the use of force continuum, right? Physical presence is a level of force. Then you up that level of force with your verbal commands. You up that level of force when you go hard hand control and what they call soft hand control, which means that if you just grab a person's arm, then that's soft hand control. If you go and strike people with your knee, arm, fist, that's hard hand control. Then you go up another level of force, which you use pepper spray, taser, and you start using expandable baton. And then the level of force above that would be deadly force. So they go up the force continuum. Could they have de-escalated? You know, in hindsight, maybe they could have. But this, all these things will be avoided if you just cooperate. Now, they can still be wrong, and you still caused, you know, still had some responsibility in your own death. They can be wrong, but you'll be alive if you just listen to what they say. And it's funny to me that we should have this conversation on both sides. We should say, the officers should, and when I do my live stream here after the show, I think at the top of the hour, I'm going to articulate, this is what I think the officers did inappropriately. This is what I think the citizen did inappropriately. It's really that simple. How do you learn from anything? If you were to say, the guy who died did nothing wrong. Okay, so anytime you get pulled over, fight the cops and run from them. That works every time for you. You did nothing wrong. It doesn't matter if you deserved it or not. Your actions necessitated a bad response by police. It's really that simple. You know, like somebody, I always say, some girl go to a party and taking drinks from people and getting drunk off her butt and something happened to her. It's not her fault that happened to her, but you're putting yourself in a position that this may happen to you. If you at home minding your business, you don't end up at a party around people, predators, who are waiting for you to get drunk so they can take advantage of you. In which case, you don't know if you gave consent or not because you're drunk. So it's not that you deserve it, but it's like there are measurables that you can learn from so you don't put yourself in positions that you can end up getting taken advantage of by predators or taken advantage of by police officers that are not acting appropriately. Same thing when you go to the hood. You go to the hood with your chain out, somebody may want to snatch your chain. And if you don't let them snatch it, they may take your life. It's not that you deserve to die over your chain, but tuck yours under. Like in Friday, you better tuck yours under because Debo coming. And if you don't want no smoke, just tuck your chain under. Therefore, you can mitigate being in a confrontation where somebody is robbing and trying to kill you.
Can you dig it, fool? Can you dig it?
We can dig it.
Can y'all dig it?
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, Fired Up Friday. Let me tell you about the Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works. All you have to do is pop open the capsules or the bag with the capsules in it, drink it with some water or whatever you want to drink it with, and watch it work and order more. So many people have given tremendous reviews on what Relief Factor has done with them. Join the over 500,000 people that have already taken Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Get started today with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. All right, I got a couple people calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Let me go with Dave from Greenville, South Carolina.
Hey, Officer Tatum, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Well, I usually listen to your show pretty much when I get off of work, but tonight you kind of struck a nerve with me, sir. You kind of was giving your remarks about the incident in Memphis before the video came out, and I've been watching the video. I watched from the streetlight. It's on Fox Live now, and also I watched the body cam videos. And what kind of struck me from your remarks when you first started your show, you were giving praise to your father on how he raised you and what a great gentleman you are. And you made it to the law enforcement and all that. Then you kind of started talking about what people deserve by their actions. And I believe actions are a result of reaction. And you were making comments about this guy gets what he deserved.
I didn't say that. I said he got what was coming to him. I didn't say he deserved it.
Okay.
I said he got what was coming to him.
Okay. Well, how you made it seem on the radio, but you also kind of went to that you worked with officers as of recently that they are waiting to put a bullet in front of somebody for them to react. You said you have two officers that you know that are just waiting to put a bullet into somebody. Now, I look at
wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me just do this, and I want to let you finish. I want to clarify things,
sir,
because I don't want you to go run away. Be a runaway train.
No,
I said officers
that
some of them are ready to put a bullet in you justifiably, and that's what I said.
Yeah.
If you mm-hmm. give them a reason, they will shoot you. So that's
okay.
what I did say that. Okay.
But when is it enough? Right now, watching the streetlight video here on this poor gentleman. This guy was down on the ground, not resisting. I understand that they're going to get their cause. No, he was not. This guy was flauntly in a dismay. He was
If he was in dismay, why wasn't his hands behind his back?
No, I'm talking about the streetlight video. This is not the body cam. On the streetlight video.
I'm looking at the streetlight video. They had to pepper spray him at one point. He still never put his hands behind his back.
But then after he's down, that's when the guy kicked him in the head 3 times. Kicked him. And then you got the guy using the baton, and then the guy comes out and punches him in the head 3 times. You have 3 officers that are just dismantling this poor guy. They should have had him down. Four officers down. And this guy should have been handcuffed, left to know. This barely just got medical attention now, and I've been on hold with you for 30-some-odd minutes. He's just barely getting medical attention. These officers here are disgusting for the Memphis Police Department. Not just the 4, the whole, all of them around is disgusting. And
okay.
I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a white male, 55 years old, and I feel sorry for this mother of this son. Apparently, this guy, whatever he was doing, the reaction of these police officers for running erratically whatever. Is this the justification that this poor young man deserved? Is this the justification? Yeah.
I don't know if you are you trying to agree with me or are you not agreeing with me? I never said it's a justification.
I kind of agree with action and reaction, but these four officers or the five of them, it's disgusting.
I think we agree.
Police departments all over the world, all over this country, need some severe training because.
Now you're generalizing. Now you're generalizing. 99% of police officers are not involved in stuff like this. We know that. How many Memphis police officers have been arrested for this? This is the first we've seen of Memphis police officers doing something like this. This is the first that I've seen of officers doing this in this number in a very long time. However, let me say this.
You know what?
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you that they acted poorly. They shouldn't have done a lot of things that they've done. Now, let's say, what should the driver of the vehicle, what should he have done in this situation?
Well, again, action, reaction. He should have obeyed and handed the driver's license, handed it over there. But I wonder why they dragged him out of the car. What was so important to drag him out of the car? You had officers around him. What is the purpose of giving the ticket? Whatever, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I just don't get it.
I agree with you. There needs to be a little bit of context there. I understand why they would drag him out of the car, but there's not context to explain why they would pull him out of the car initially. There could be a reason, but we don't have the context of that. They could be 100% wrong, or they could be reasonable in that initially. But the thing is that would this guy have been dead if he would have followed police instructions initially?
But the way they had it, Officer Tatum, he would have been dead anyhow. They abused the guy. They were out there to have fun. They were out there to have fun and get their kicks on. You can see it.
You could say that. I don't disagree with you. I don't really know what their motives were. But I will say that, can we agree that when they pull you out of the car, before they get to the streetlights, because he didn't get to the streetlights because he was transported. He literally fought the police officer on the side of the car. They had to tase him twice. And none of that was working. He took his shirt off and ran. Like, if he would have just obeyed right there at the side, there would be no beating under the stoplight. I'm not saying that they were justified in doing it. I'm just saying that as a citizen, if you want to avoid getting beat up by bad cops, then just follow their instructions and then you can deal with it in the court of law. But now he's dead. And what is it now? They go to jail? It doesn't matter. He's dead, regardless if they go to jail or not.
But
as a citizen, you can mitigate that.
They reacted harshly and unnecessary, in my opinion. Just like when the officers come up to you and they say this, stop resisting. 95% of the time, and you know it as I do, the people are not resisting. They're just trying to control the situation. And they use that to get a jump on whoever the person they're arresting. 95% of them say, I'm not resisting. And you know that's part of your training. It's to get a jump on the criminal or whoever you guys are arresting. It's part of police procedure.
Thank you so much for calling in. I got to go to the break. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor all the time, and it works. It works. It works for me. I feel better. There was aches and joint discomfort that I didn't know I had until I started taking Relief Factor. And it really, really works. And I tell you what, give it a try. Don't believe me. Use it for yourself, and you will see how well Relief Factor works. So go to ReliefFactor.com. Get started with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. You can go to relieffactor.com, or if you don't want to go to the website, you can call in at 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor. Ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I have to say that Fired Up Friday is now coming to a close. I think we've got about 5 minutes. I'm going to bring in both callers, but you got to be brief. I need you to stay under a minute. Give me your statement, and then I got to move on because we're going to run out of time. Mike from Cleveland, Ohio, retired police officer. What you got, Mike? Give it to me in a minute.
Hey, Officer Tatum. Listen, you're absolutely right. The guy should have complied. It would be nice if everybody that law enforcement encounters would comply. But you and I both know that's not the case. And there's never any justification for a police officer. And I was a police officer for 35 years before I retired. There's never a case where somebody should end up dead, unarmed, and you got five officers on the scene. You should arrest this guy, take him in. But man, I haven't seen the video yet. But based on what you're describing, that's bad police work, man.
Yeah, I agree.
That's bad police work.
You and I both agree on that. I ain't no way in the world would I justify what they did. I think two people were wrong at the same time. But like you said, I think you hit the point home, and there's no justification for it to end up getting to that point. You got five police officers. They're in this what they call a scorpion unit. I don't know why they got officers with 2.5 years on the police department. Their experience ranged from 2.5 years to 5 years on the police department in a special task force unit to go after hard criminals. I don't know what the police department was thinking about putting these inexperienced officers in that position. But you didn't see the video, but when you see it, you'll see that there was some punches thrown while the guy was standing up. They had his hands behind his back. He was kind of not complying, but he wasn't fighting. And one officer just punched him in the face a couple times, and he ended up knocking him down on the ground. It's unjustified in that approach.
Yeah, that's bad, man. That culture, and you know what I'm talking about, is a culture in the police department among certain officers, black and white, and right. That stuff has got to be rooted out, man. It's got to be rooted out because it's too many of these incidents. And I know what you're talking about because I've seen white guys get beat up too. But man, that culture's got to be rooted out, man. It's got to be rooted out.
I agree with you, Mike. Thank you so much for the call, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you for
all
your
right,
service.
All right.
So I kind of ran out of time, but Mike is a former police officer, so I had to give him a little more time. But no, let me just explain this real quick. I think I can do it in 30 seconds. He's 100% right that culture has to be rooted out. There's a difference between excessive force and aggressive policing that's unjustified and officers who are stern and who are using force appropriately but are very direct. It's two different things. Make sure you go to the YouTube channel. I'm going to do a live review of the body-worn camera footage. The Officer Tatum on YouTube. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.